We were on vacation back in April, and we met a guy down there where we'd went, and the interaction that we had didn't have to do with the Lord, but it ended up with questions that came from that. So we got to open up a line of communication, and we got to talk, and he was curious about some things that I had said. And one of the things that seems to be clear to me is that on the day of Pentecost, when the Bible says that in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers, one thing that seemed clear to me, which I guess in the beginning it didn't, I guess when we thought the apostles' doctrine, the question that we had tossed around before was how much of the apostles' doctrine did they have to know? And I guess the answer came to how much of the apostles' doctrine was written at the time that this statement was made. And so you ask yourself, where did that doctrine come from that they had to continue in? Was it Romans or Ephesians? Galatians, Corinthians? Well, you know, none of them had been written. And so it became clear to me, and when it was explained, I thought I could explain it in a way that would make it clear, but, you know, sometimes I trust in my own abilities a little bit too much, but I thought that when I said, there was, when we were continuing the apostles' doctrine, what doctrine were they talking about? The only doctrine that existed at the time this statement was made was the sermon that Peter had given, and that was who Jesus was and how to be saved. They said that, let the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And the word Christ there meant the Messiah. It was the one that the Jews had been waiting on. That was very important. So he was their long-awaited Messiah. He was their Redeemer. This was one of the things who Jesus was. He was the Son of God. And the other thing was when he told them that this Jesus whom God has made both Lord and Christ, you have crucified and you have killed, right? And so when the Jews realized that they had killed the one that had come to save them, they asked, what shall we do? They were asking, well, then how can we be saved if we've killed the one that came to save us? And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. So these are the two doctrines that existed, who Jesus was and how to be saved, right? And I thought, you know, silly me, I thought, well, that was the end of the argument. But then this guy wanting to know, because I don't want people to just take me at my word. I want to be challenged on my faith. And he was interested in knowing the truth. Not just what he thought, not just what I thought. He was interested in knowing the truth. And you're going to run across people like this. One of the things that you have to be able to do when people ask you questions is you have to be able to answer them. And you know what? You're not going to be able to answer every question. But when you can't answer that question, learn the answer, search for the answer, and have it to go back to them or have it to tell the next person that asks you. You don't just say, huh, that was a good question, I don't know. He asked me, he says, well, what about the teachings of Jesus and all the teachings that the Jews had? And I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, right? I mean, this is a legitimate question when you have, on the day of Pentecost, you had all these Jews that had been under the law, and you had these Jews that had been with the master teaching for 3.5 years. Those were doctrines that existed. What do you do with those? And I thought, you know, that's a really good question. I thought I had summed up the answer, but I hadn't summed up the answer. And this is what I said. None of these Ephesians, Romans, Colossians, none of these existed. Only Jesus was, who Jesus was and how to be saved. So the question that he asked me was, what about the other doctrines that these Jews held? What about the law of Moses? When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, were they given a choice to either stay under the law? What were you going to do with the law that you had followed for 1,000 years? thousands of years, right? What were you going to do with that? These are real questions that people have, to the point where you have teachings out there that say that the law is still in place, God's still holding a special place for it, and He's going to reinstate the law. It shows that people don't understand the answers to these questions. It's silly me. I thought that I'd already given them the answer to these questions, right? The only doctrine you had on the day of Pentecost was who Jesus was and how to be saved. Foolish me. There were other doctrines that were available. So what you have to do is you have to sort out in your mind by Scripture, what is the truth here? And see, when you're able to do this, when you're able to look and let Scripture be your guide, not what you think, not what other people tell you, then you learn to trust in Jesus more. And what you're essentially doing is by answering some question that may seem trivial to you, that may not seem like it's a big deal, that you already know the answer to, but when you're telling these people real answers from Scripture, you're helping them trust in Jesus. You're helping build their trust. You're doing something that the Holy Spirit does. You know what this is called? It's called fruit of the Spirit. You are actively working in the kingdom to save another soul. And you know what you did? You answered a question. Because you spent time in the Word to find the answer to a question that you might have already thought you knew the answer to. What about the law of Moses, the teachings of Christ? We think that because we see the bigger picture, that we should think that these people understood that they were just to forget about these teachings? No, they can't do this. This is everything that they knew their entire life. They held on to that law. They held on. And when people came out to John the Baptist to be baptized, to confess their sins, when Jesus came, they started to hold on to the teachings of Jesus. Here was a man that started coming and teaching what seemed to be contrary to the law, to what the Pharisees told you the law was, and he was healing people. And even the Pharisees came to a place where they said, "Teacher, we know that you are from God because no one can do the miracles that you do and not be from God." So how do you put all this together on the day of Pentecost? Here comes another doctrine. How do you put it all together? I don't know. I got about 15 minutes to tell you. So this is not going to be something that will be an end-all, case-all, print out, give to people and say, "Here, read this." But this is going to be a great starting point for you to learn how to deal with the confusion that's out there. Because when you can settle a confusion like this, when people come to you with these real questions and you can give them some real quick answers that come from Scripture, you're giving them a fighting chance against the one that's trying to snatch those words away, and that's the devil. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is probably the most well-known Scripture that there is out there. But He was telling this to a physical Jew. Did the law of Moses teach about Jesus? You know, the law of Moses taught about a Redeemer. And here when Jesus was there and He was telling Nicodemus this, a physical Jew, Nicodemus had a hard time understanding. You know, it seemed like that the Jews forgot that there was a Redeemer coming. The Jews, it seemed like they only wanted their place in this world reinstated. And when Jesus ascended in Acts 1, you can read the account, and the apostles there said, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" It seemed like they had forgot that there was a Redeemer coming, that the underlying drive that they had was the restoration of the kingdom of Israel in the flesh in this land. But the law of Moses didn't teach that Christ was going to do that. The law of Moses taught that the Messiah was going to come and save His people. See, there was a confusion that existed right there. And how did He save their people? Not by delivering them from Rome like they thought Jesus was supposed to do, but He saved them from their sins. He gave them a chance at real forgiveness. And you know, if you've ever carried a grudge all your life, that's a heavy burden to bear. And when you come to a place where you can really let that down and you can get forgiveness between those two people, it's worth gold. It is. And so Jesus was coming to these people to give them a real chance at forgiveness, but they were forgetting that and thinking about a physical kingdom. And he was talking to a physical Jew there. So where did Jesus fit in with the teachings of the law of Moses? It taught sacrifices of bulls and goats. Where did he fit in with that? See, we're talking about what to do with the law of Moses in the acknowledgement that Jesus was the Christ. Okay? Here were the people that said on the day of Pentecost, "Men and brethren, you have killed the one that come to save you." And the question was, what shall we do? These were people that had accepted that Jesus was that Messiah that was preached under the law. So what do you do with the law? Just throw it away? What do you do with all those teachings that were there? What do you do with all the teachings that Jesus had? Hebrews 9:24-26 says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Understanding when the New Testament started is essential. Hebrews says that while the tester lives, that the testament is not in force. So while Jesus came to bring in the New Testament and while he was alive, that testament wasn't in force. The Bible said that if Jesus had not raised from the dead, we would still be in our sins. It tells us here that Jesus had to go into before God to present that blood, that he was faithful to that Old Testament. And he had to present that blood so that we could be forgiven. So, at the very least, all of the statements, understanding that Jesus made in his ministry, they were made as to someone who lived under the law. And so, when you talk about the teachings of Christ that he had to come, understand that he was under the law, showing you of the new doctrines that were going to come. But see, in this man's mind, he was separating the law of Moses and the teachings of Christ. And then the New Testament. But Jesus was trying to show us a life that would be lived in the New Testament by the Holy Spirit of God, not one that was lived under the law. However, him being a Jew, circumcised on the eighth day, he had to live under the law. So here you had a man that lived under the law preaching of a new covenant that was to come. See, that brings two of his questions together into one. The teachings that Jesus had was about what was come, the kingdom coming, and the man, how he lived and the things that he did under the law. The law of Moses also taught that a Redeemer was coming to save those under the law and those sacrifices that had to be made over and over. I guess Jesus would fit in here, right? Because when we talk about Nicodemus and he was talking about Jesus, he didn't seem to understand. But then when you start talking about a Savior that's coming to forgive you, then certainly you can see that he was a high priest that didn't go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of another. He went into the presence of God with the blood of himself. You see, this is starting to make things clearer for the people because they're starting to understand that the law of Moses demanded something. And told us something was coming. The law of Moses demanded that we were faithful to God. And what the law of Moses showed us was that man could not be faithful to God. He gave 10 commandments that he wanted. And you know that man cannot keep those commandments. And you look back in your life and the simplest answer is when you lied, who made you lie? We lied to save our own skin. We lied for personal gain. See, we can't do what God expected of us without help from God. And that's what the law showed us. This is what I expect. These are your limitations, but I will send somebody to help you. And so the teachings that were told under the law, why would we want to bring them in to a doctrine about a man that saved you when the law showed you that you couldn't obey God? Colossians 2:13 through 14, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all you trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken them out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Do you know that that doesn't tell you up there that the law has been done away with? It says that the requirements of the law have been done away with. See, when you did something against God under the Old Testament, you had to come to the priest. You had to come and bring a sacrifice to the priest for your sin. And that priest would take that sacrifice and present it before God. Okay? This is what you did under the law. But now, He didn't say that we didn't sin. He didn't say that what God had showed us in the past that He wanted was wrong has changed. He says how we attain forgiveness has changed. Now we obtain forgiveness by the blood of Christ. And now when we sin, what do? We ask for repentance. We repent before God. We ask for forgiveness. Under the Old Testament, we couldn't do that because the requirements were different. God said that we shouldn't lie. God said that we shouldn't have idols. God said that we shouldn't commit adultery. Has those things changed? Can we do those things now and be okay? No, the problem is that when we do those things now, how we obtain forgiveness is different. And that's what Peter was telling them on the day of Pentecost. The Redeemer that has come to save you under the trespasses of the law by His blood, you've killed Him. And so now that He has been killed by our hands, by our sin, the Bible tells us that when we are baptized into Christ, Romans tells us that when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into that death. That means that we share with the forgiveness that Christ offered. That our flesh has been crucified the way that He crucified that flesh. That's a big deal. That's why He nailed it to the cross. We can't go and to a priest somewhere and confess our sins and let that priest go and forgive us of our sins. Can we? That's not available anymore because the requirements that said we used to have to do that, talking about the physical Jew, we're Gentiles, we were never under the law. That's been taken away. So there's a doctrine on the day of Pentecost. When you want to ask what doctrines that we held, we can't hold up the doctrines of the law. After Christ came and offered Himself as the blood sacrifice, there was no need to go back under a law that showed a Redeemer was coming. He had already come. Why would you bring up a doctrine on the day of Pentecost when it said follow the apostles' doctrine? Why would you go back into the Jewish law and start talking about a doctrine that preached a man was coming when He had died on the cross and had been raised from the dead? He had already come. Why would you go back? You can't bring that doctrine forward. It had been fulfilled. These are quick and easy answers that you know. You know that Christ fulfilled the law. You know that He was promised under the law. But yet you had someone that didn't have it put together for him. And the question was, what about all these other teachings that were out there? Okay, well, let's bring back in the teaching of the law about a man that was coming to save us. Who is he going to say that was? Well, that was Jesus. Okay, well, then we don't need to bring up the law, do we? Hebrews 8:13, in that He says a new covenant He has made, the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. You know when the Old Testament, God was finally done with that Old Testament? And y'all know the answer to this, but when that temple fell in 68 AD, He was done with that Old Testament for good.
Because see, it took time. It took time for the for Christ, the teaching of Christ on the day of Pentecost, to travel to the places back to the villages and stuff where these Jews live, because they come from a long way, because they travel by donkey, right? Now something happens on the other side of the world, our phone goes off and we're like, oh, look what just happened in Japan. Look what just happened in Taiwan. It wasn't like that. It was riding that donkey. 10 miles a day? And you live 200 miles away. But when that Old Testament fell, do you know what happened? I mean, when that temple fell, do you know what was lost in that temple? The records of the Jews. Do you know that when you go back to in Nehemiah, when Babylon had conquered the Jews and tore down the temple, that they were allowed to go back and rebuild the temple, and there were some people that claimed to be Levites, but they couldn't find their records. They couldn't be justified as coming from the tribe of Levi, so they were disqualified. There's no Jew today that has any records that can show what tribe, where they came from in these temple records. They've all been destroyed. There's no priesthood on record from Levi or forward to minister the sacraments. They're all disqualified because God destroyed that temple. And He said He was going to. He told us here, a new covenant. What's that? That was the New Testament in Jesus. That the first one was obsolete and it was ready to vanish away. Look, here's the problem. The Scripture tells us that if you seek to be justified by the law, then you have to keep every point of it. If you say that I am saved by the law, and you say that you are not an adulterer, but you're a liar, then you break every single point of the law, every one of them, and you have failed. You can't do that. You can't bring in parts of the law. And see, that's what we do in our minds. We have ideas and segments of different things that we want to bring in and group them all together. Scripture sorts these out for us in a way that we can truly understand. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. There is no doctrine to bring over but Him. The doctrine of the Old Testament was the Savior that came to save those people. That's the one that we bring over. We bring over Jesus, not the Old Testament requirements. There's no sacrifice to bring over but Him. Remember when I asked before, when it talked about the law preached of sacrifices of blood of bulls and goats, it didn't mention the blood of the Savior, did it? It talked about the blood of bulls and goats. There's no sacrifice to bring over but Him. It's His blood that is shed now. He is the Lamb of God. Even John the Baptist said it, "Behold the Lamb of God." Hebrews forbids any doctrine from being brought over. When you read the book of Hebrews, do you know the problem that they had? The Jews could accept Christ, but they couldn't get away from physical circumcision, because under the law, it said that on the eighth day, if your child was not the male child was not circumcised, he would be cut off from his people. And so they had a hard time with that physical circumcision, understanding, as Scripture tells us, that now we're circumcised without hands, we're circumcised in immersion. They had a hard time with that. So you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to worship Jesus, but they wanted to take that little part of the law and bring it over into the New Testament. Now, Jesus was brought over from the Old Testament. He was the one that was the Redeemer. But when you start going past Jesus and bringing over another sacrifice, another teaching, Hebrews told us that by doing that, you would fall from grace. So when someone asks you, what about the teachings of the Old Testament? They've been fulfilled. They've been fulfilled. You can't bring those teachings over into the New Testament. The Hebrews forbids that. The only thing you can bring over from the Old Testament was that Redeemer and His sacrifice, because the Old Testament promised a Redeemer and a forgiveness of sins. It's a simple answer. But there was no one to tell him and give him the answer. And so when I thought I had the answer, that the only doctrine that existed in Acts 2:42 was who Jesus was and who to be saved, no one had helped him organize the doctrines from the past. No one had helped him sort them out. He didn't have answers for that. And you know what? He wanted answers. He wasn't going to move forward until he got answers. That's the type of people we want. We don't want people that are just going to take you at your word. We want people that are going to take what you say and they're going to go home and they're going to open Scripture. And they're going to come back to you and they're going to have that Bible open. They're going to say, you said this. What about this? That's the type of people that you want. You do not want people to take you at your word. Do you know why? Because we're only men. We don't stand by our word. We stand by the Word of God. And if someone can show me in the Word of God that I am wrong, that I am wrong. God is right. But Hebrews forbids anything being brought over from that Old Testament other than Jesus and His sacrifice. The trust of the Jewish people was never in the law, but the one who would fulfill that promise, and that was Jesus. Go back to what we said earlier, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what He was telling Nicodemus. He was telling him that you're trusting in the law. You need to trust in the Redeemer of the law. That's who He was telling him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him and not the law of Moses. They didn't hold to that law of Moses. There was a time when Jesus said this and they had to hold to the law of Moses. But the time was coming when anybody that held in that law of Moses and didn't believe in the Son but held on to that law, they would perish. He told them, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because that law was what He came to redeem, the people under that law. Same thing, Paul, same thing we just read that was told to the church is the same thing that Jesus was trying to show the physical Jew. So the doctrine of Jesus, did it show anything different? Did it show anything different than what the law was trying to show us? There wasn't a law, a doctrine of Christ, and a doctrine of the apostles. The doctrine of the apostles was built off of the prophets from the law because they cried about Jesus. And when Jesus came, He talked about the coming kingdom, about the church that was going to be set up. And that's what the apostles did. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Do you know why? It was the blood and bulls of goats in the law. Christ was the one that came. It was by His blood. By the law, if we put ourselves back under the law, we won't have salvation. Because we'll be waiting for a man that's already come. And we'll be dismissing His doctrine for the doctrine under the law. Paul told the church at Galatia the same thing that Jesus told Nicodemus. You've always trusted in Jesus to come save your souls. The reason they held on to that law is because they were promised a Messiah. That's the reason they held on to that law. You've always trusted in Jesus to come save your souls, for He was the Redeemer promised under the law. Now we have to believe by His blood that He has accomplished that. So I'll go back to my original statement. What do we do with the law, the teachings of Jesus, and the apostles' doctrine on the day of Pentecost when we're told to follow, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine taught that those under the law were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They even went back to David and said that Christ was the one that was prophesied to sit on His throne. Having questions about these doctrines, we have to believe that the law taught that Jesus was going to come and save his people. And we have to believe by the death, burial, and resurrection that he did that. So what are you going to bring forward? What doctrine and sacrifice are you going to bring forward other than the resurrection of Jesus to redeem his people? There's nothing to bring forward. We have to believe that by his blood he accomplished forgiveness. Now we as Christians, we as Gentiles who were never under the law, we have to stand firm in this belief that his blood also redeemed us. We have to know that there's never anything else coming that is going to look at you and question you and try to put you under another doctrine. Because you're fighting for a soul. Because this guy that we were talking with, we're fighting for his soul, mine and his. Because if he's right and I'm wrong and all this scripture that I've given you is wrong and I'm an idiot, then I'm condemning my own soul. The devil puts doubt in your mind because you know what? You don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I didn't have this answer when he asked that question. I thought, that was a really good question that you asked me. You got me. And so I had to go back and put some sort of structure around it to be able to say, I'm willing to stake my soul on this. And I'm willing to fight for yours. We have to believe that there is no other covenant, that there's no other sacrifice, that there is no one else coming other than the blood of Jesus that saved us and his return for all of his people, for those that trust in that message on the day of Pentecost. We have to be willing to fight for souls because they're going to tell you that you're wrong. They're going to bring up other ways of salvation. And you have to know that you may not be able to reach them right then and there, but you have to know that the message that you have learned, and that you have learned to trust in, that you cannot back down from, and you bring it to them, and if they see it, it will save their souls. You have to have confidence, just like Nicodemus, just like those Jews. They had to let the requirements of that law go and trust in Jesus. You have to trust that this is the only doctrine, this is the only sacrifice that will ever save anyone's soul. The promised Redeemer has come to redeem the world, and by his blood, we are redeemed. The Jews didn't believe that. The Jews wanted to hold on to other things. You cannot bring those things into Christ because you're lifting that sacrifice above his. You really think we can do that? I think this is kind of a deep study, right? This requires a little bit of thinking. But someone asked me this question. What if they would have asked you this question? Doesn't seem like a really deep waste of time study now, does it? This is something that we all learn from. I didn't have the answer to tell that man right then and there. We could have bantered back and forth, but I didn't have it all laid out to come and show him that it was Christ that we trusted in. Any law, any sacrifice, it's always been Jesus that we've been waiting on. Can you think of another that you've been waiting on? Are you looking forward to another other than Jesus? No. We have to stand secure in that belief to teach salvation to others because there are many plans of salvation out there and there are many things that seem right that will sway your mind. And you have to hold true that Jesus has come and it is by that message of his blood and that immersion that we are saved. Those Jews on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and he told them, let the house of Israel know assuredly this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him the Redeemer of the law. So you can go back under the law, but the Redeemer has already come and he has shed his blood. Are you going to accept it or are you going to reject it? This is the message that Peter gave. This is the apostles' doctrine that we're to stand firm in. There is no other sacrifice. There is no other no other redeemer. There is nothing other than Christ. He even told us that last of all, I will send them my Son. He sent prophets and He sent all these people to come to the Jews to tell them, and they resisted them all. And He said, last of all, I send my Son. Last of all, I will send my Son. If the sacrifice and the blood that Jesus shed was not enough for those Jews, if it's not enough for you, you will never get anything else to save your soul. Never. And He has offered you a choice. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?